It's the cleansing power of the blood that makes us a believer. So in other words, my dear friends, this means that we have to act like saints, not like snobs.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's continue on in this sermon series through the life of Paul. This is part four from that series, How to Be Usable for God. Let's go into the message today with Pastor Rogers.
So if all you have is believing in Jesus, you have no greater faith than devils. What's the difference that makes you a Christian, which is you're going to see here in just a moment where everything changed? The difference is you're not just believing. Okay, I came to the altar believing. I knelt down, I said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, whatever. I'm repenting before God. I heard the prayer, I prayed the prayer, I believed it in my heart. And now what? Do I stay here at the altar? What am I doing? I'm turning. The mere physical act that happens at the altar is a spiritual change of the heart. I believe and I turn and leave my sins at the altar. Yeah. Believing and turning from my wicked ways, okay? When the word happens and the word comes to Antioch and it reaches Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem says they're going to need some help. This is a brand new church plant down there in Antioch. A lot of things happening, people getting saved and born again, turning. There's evidence that's there. We need that verified. So what do? They send the encourager. They send Barnabas to investigate. The Bible said he was a good man. And why did they send Barnabas? Because he had no prejudice in his heart toward anybody. Now think about it. These are folks that are in Antioch in Syria. Let's take it for right now, y'all. Let's take it right now. And I recorded this, some of it, that will come out for Prophecy Files this weekend. And I was talking to our editing crew and so forth. I said, listen, I want to make sure that we put pictures on there for this coming weekend as I'm speaking about the Persian or the Iranian people. Because while we're listening to the rhetoric and the prophetic sounds coming actually from the leaders of Iran that are saying, according to Psalm 83, God wrote it a long time ago, let's wipe Israel off the map, let's push them into the sea. Those are the very terminologies found in Psalm 83. Watch the program this weekend. I said, I want to make sure we understand, while these guys in leadership are the mouthpiece of the devil, the Iranian Persian people are hungry for God. There is a, look, oh, man, I heard this, and I may have to edit this for the prophecy program this weekend, because while I was sitting there taping it, dealing with North Korea and South Korea, the North Korean president has announced he's going to open the door for Christian missionaries to come into North Korea and preach the gospel. I don't think you understand. A few days ago, they were arresting preachers, and they have one in prison and multiple ones in prison right now. Let me take it a step further. The Bible Society was taking Bibles in bags. You can see this on YouTube. And binding them together just a few days ago, tying balloons, helium balloons to them, and letting them float from the border of South Korea into North Korea so they could get the word of God in. Now, by the sovereign hand in the last days, by an almighty God, unsuspecting to anybody else, these two leaders crossed the border, and now he says, I want to welcome the Christian missionaries to come in. Y'all, here's my question. Who's going to step across the line and not be prejudiced towards the Korean people or the Syrian people or, wait for it, ISIS? I mean, who needs Jesus and who don't, huh? Well, Pastor, I'll never be going over there. I know. How about that neighbor that you've been living across the street from now for decades. Come on now. You didn't come to church tonight for me to pat your back. I'm an encourager like Barnabas. There is a harvest field that is waiting. People are getting saved by the droves. Listen to me, y'all. If you ever have one person that you ever personally win to the Lord, there will be an addiction button that goes off inside of you that says, that was exciting. I think I'll reach for another one. Wonder what would happen next Sunday if God unlocked it like he did for the North and South Koreans and the doors were open. We can't afford to be prejudiced against anybody. If they walk in the door and they got a head rag around their head and their eyes covered up, come on in. Sit down and hear the word of God that will unlock your soul. Come on. Have you been saved so long? Boy, I feel the anointing now. I'm off script right now. Have you been saved so long that it's so familiar to you that it doesn't make any difference whether somebody gets saved or not? You just like coming to church and singing a song and hearing a sermon or hearing a Wednesday night. Is there a passionate pull on your heart to say, wait a minute, we haven't seen somebody saved like we need to. Maybe something else is going on. Let's stir up our soul for the kingdom of God's sake. Don't you let your salvation get stale. Come on now. Anybody going to help me right here? They sent Barnabas down there to check out. They sent him down to Antioch. And here's what happened. When he arrived, he saw the wonderful things God was doing in Antioch. This is an important, this is a cornerstone in Antioch of Christianity. I'm about to show you. And he was filled. Mr. Encouragement, Barnabas, was filled to capacity and was encouraged himself by what he saw. Here's the thing. The Bible said he encouraged the believers to stay close to the Lord and whatever at whatever cost. Because why? Because their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem were getting killed and the potential of them being slaughtered was on the horizon. So what is he saying? Decide in advance to be faithful to the kingdom. Come on, somebody. If it gets hot in the days that are ahead and persecution hits this church or hits your life, already decide today. Come on, somebody. I'm deciding right now. No matter how hot it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, come on, somebody. No matter who comes and who goes, I have decided to follow Jesus and be faithful all the way. Come on, if there's somebody in this building agree with me, put your hands together and clap right now for the kingdom of God's sake. So Barnabas then encourages them to plan, go ahead and plan in advance, to remain faithful to the Lord with all of their heart. Now listen carefully to me. This is something you must embed in the hearts and lives of your children and your grandchildren. So whenever your grandchildren show over at your house, don't just talk about anything. Embed into their soul, into their life, to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. We don't resist temptation accidentally or casually. We must make a deliberate decision in advance to stay true to the Lord. Are you hearing me? Kids don't get in the back seat of a car by accident. They have to make up their mind before they get there, I'm not going to participate in that. So that's not even a temptation to me because I'm not going there. Come on, somebody. The time to decide whether or not you're going to remain faithful to the Lord is not when you're already inside of the temptation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number three, not only decide in advance, but we are to use our gifts collectively. When I look around this room and the gifts that are sitting in this room, there's nothing lacking. You hear me? Except you using what God has given to you. Well, I don't have a place. No, no. That's not an excuse. Are you breathing? Yes. then your life and your testimony and your gift can be used if you'll look for the opportunity every day. Every day. Come on now. And listen, if any of you are not seeing the hand of God every day inside of your life, come and go with me. Come on. We'll take a roller coaster ride. Come and go over here and go on visitation. Walk with them in the hospitals. Walk in the nursing home. Get outside of your own box. The reason why you feel like that the trouble is so surrounding you is because you're confined in a box and your gift has got to get outside of that box. Come on, somebody. In Acts chapter 11, verse 25 through 27, the Bible says this, that Barnabas, who was the great encourager, that was his gift. But he knew the people at Antioch needed the teaching of God's word. So what happens? Barnabas goes to Tarshish and gets Saul, the master teacher, and together, the encourager and the teacher, go to Antioch to build up the church there at Antioch. He brings them down there, and for a year, they teach all the folks down there and disciple the people down there. Barnabas is encouraging them. Saul is using his gift of teaching. This right here, it takes both of them, the encourager and the teacher. These were the two gifts that were being used. I want you to know something. Rarely do we find both gifts in the same person. What does that mean? That's why we need the church. People say, I don't need to go to church to be saved. It's not about you being saved. It's about you being an encourager and hands for somebody else. Hello? Say it out loud. It's not about me. Come on, say it again. It's not about me. How many of you are already born again? Let me see your hand. Okay, look at all those hands. You don't need to turn around and try to get somebody saved her. Right? I just made that up, I think. Put that in the dictionary. We don't need to just get saved her and blessed her. Right? Why are we getting all this? To pour it out upon people who don't know Jesus Christ. Pour it out upon people who need encouragement, who need teaching. Well, Pastor, I need a platform. No, you don't. They weren't looking for a platform. They sat in small groups and started teaching and sharing the word of God together. Come on now. We need the fellowship of the believers. We need the fellowship of the church. And we need the gifts of people. Again, I'm looking around this room right now at the multiple gifts that are sitting right here. Now, because this is called the body of Christ, inside of your own body is every mechanism that God placed since the dawn of the day that you were born. He placed every healing mechanism necessary on the inside of your body. You don't have to tell. If you cut your finger, you don't have to turn around and send out a decree or get a sign-up sheet at the ministry information booth to get all of the right cells and blood and everything to rush to that cut place to start mending it and caring for it and getting the infection out and helping it and encouraging it to heal. Almost immediately, the healing begins to take place if you cut your finger, because the body already knows what to do. Now, if your immune system, I'm preaching right now, if you haven't been built up, or if there's somebody missing, if somebody's not using their gift, then something goes lacking. I believe in using the right tool for the job. I ask you, my friends, not whose fool are you, whose tool are you? Are you a tool in the hand of the master? Are you a tool in the hand of the devil who doesn't get anything accomplished? For the kingdom of God's sake.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.